Welcome to Beyond Reports, GRI's podcast where we talk about the latest in sustainability reporting and the GRI standards. My name's Sue Lane Wood.
And I am Vinita Jacob.
Welcome, Vinita. We've made some changes to the format of the podcast, and we hope our listeners like it and subscribe. From now on, we'll be talking in depth about one specific topic or a GRI standard. Our goal is to provide listeners with the latest information about what GRI has been up to, including our services, standards, the GRI community, and other relevant topics.
The first episode in this new series is dedicated to waste, an important and urgent topic and one that GRI has drafted a waste standard around. Daniel Gomez, who is part of the working group for the standard, shares with us his expertise on this topic, and at the end of the podcast, we'll tell you how to give your feedback on the draft. So let's dive right into the world of sustainability and waste.
These days, everything seems like it needs to be upgraded every few years, and we throw out a lot instead of repairing things or reusing them in a different way. We know that we're using too many resources. There's this initiative, Vinita, I don't know if you've heard of it, Earth Overshoot Day?
Oh, I have. That's the one that measures when we've used more of the Earth's resources than what our planet can regenerate in 1 year.
And it's not good news, because last year, Earth Overshoot Day was August 1st, and now the line's moved to July 29th.
So in 1 year, we've literally lost 2 days.
Exactly. Because as consumers, we dispose of things when they're no longer useful, from packaging to old appliances. But our behavior as consumers is only one part of the equation.
Agree. Our world cannot continue using resources at the same pace that we have until now. But you're right, it's not only up to consumers to deal with sustainability. Businesses can address the waste issue and become more efficient in the process too. One way of doing this is by reporting on waste management. And right now, we are reviewing our standard on waste to ensure that it is in line with internationally agreed best practice and that it reflects recent developments in waste management and reporting.
So the current GRI waste disclosures include provisions on treating waste after it's been created. But with the review, we're moving toward a circular economy model, which looks beyond the take, make, and dispose industrial approach and aims to redefine products and services to design waste out. In other words, we try to minimize the waste that's produced throughout the production and life cycle of an item and minimize the negative impacts when they occur.
This is an important shift, and one the GRI standards are keen to help companies make more transparent and more visible. It means helping companies rethink how they design products and give more thought to how to make them more durable.
So we need to stop thinking in terms of planned obsolescence.
Yes, but it also means looking at how the end consumer will dispose of packaging, use the product and get rid of it at the end of its life, and seeing if companies can influence consumer behavior.
For this episode, our colleague Lucy Goodchild talked to Daniel Gomez, a solid waste management consultant who works in Colombia, about how he got into waste and the situation in Latin America.
Daniel, thanks ever so much for joining us. Can you tell us a bit about your role and your involvement with waste as a sustainability topic?
Yeah, I've been working in Colombia for more or less 15 years related with waste management. And I was just remembering this week that when I was studying, I was involved with waste. I was trying to look for solutions for tires. And then when I did my master's, again, I was working with life cycle assessment of waste management. And from then on, most of my topics have been related with how to manage waste, how to involve people in waste management, how to educate about waste management, because everybody believes separating waste is very easy and they know how to do it. And I've been in that area for these years, and for me, it's one of my passions. And I get kind of criticized because on my trips, I take pictures of trash cans and systems of waste management. They're part of the trips, and family already accepts that, and they even tell me when they see a bin or or a system that have you taken the picture of it? But it's a matter of it. It's learning and actually trying to see the good things and the problems that can be solved.
And what kind of challenges are you facing in the region in Latin America?
When you take waste management, it's actually transport. You are emitting CO2 or you are emitting any carbon related substance. So what informal recyclers do is avoid those emissions. And indeed, there's social impact because they're doing a living out of it. And on the other hand, the environmental benefit of taking out of the waste valuable materials. They're not perfect because, for example, if a material is of low cost, they won't take it because they want to have they're making a living out of it, so they want the valuable materials out of it. So we need to take them into the inclusion system and pay for the work and recognize all of the materials, so that way we are able to take back into the recycling industry all the materials, where they are valuable or non-valuable for the recyclers. So that's one of the elements that you find in Latin America, but I wouldn't go that it's also a problem of Latin America. Asia has it. In the United States, you are starting to see urban miners. They're going through the waste of people and they're appearing there because they're seeing that a way of living is taking waste and recycling it and getting a living out of it. So we have to be very cautious of them, and we have to see that there is a benefit from the work and include them the best way possible. Other of the elements in the region is that when you look at Europe has had a history of more than 40 years from going to landfills and trying to solve the problem of recycling. This is only starting to happen in many of the cities in Latin America. We may have landfills of 20 years that are solving a sanitary problem, that is avoiding waste from going into rivers or in land deposited without any of the technical requirements. But still, there are many places where that is not happening yet. So waste is contaminating different ecosystems. So that's the first part. And we don't have, except for maybe Argentina and Brazil, we don't have many experiences of waste-to-energy systems. And that could help, but it's a benefit. And on the other side, we haven't seen the benefits of recycling. There are a lot of resources, so people just believe that resources are abundant and they won't end. And so we need to start putting that into the agenda and talking to people that there's a scarcity of some resources, that we need to put them there, that recycling is a social thing, but an environmental thing, and it's a living thing. So we have to put it into the discussion also. And of course, involving people to do the right thing about waste management, of how to deposit the waste and the trash, because we are still seeing problems related to people just throwing in the streets waste. And that is something that Latin America faces still, that we need to put into that. This is not something about just a sanitary issue, but it's a matter of resources. It's a social system. It's a way of behaving. It's a way of incorporating a way of living, I would say. So there are many, many elements there. And we need to, if we want to pass from just talking about waste and talk about circularity, we need to have the sanitary issues solved and walk through the behavior of people into what is circularity and some other issues, not just a matter of waste, is to be addressed there. We need to talk about the efficiency of resources. We need to talk about energy. We need to talk about climate change. We need to talk about the way of getting into some regions that are very far away. For example, in the case of Colombia, Peru is the same. there are many cities that are very far away, and due to the transport systems in the mountains, well, you can take the products out there, but you cannot bring them back. So those logistics are very important to put into that is part of the development that needs to be brought into the regions in order to achieve those systems. Because, well, a landfill, you can build it there and you just put trash in it. But when you talk about bringing the logistics of a product back, then that's going to cost, and who's going to pay for that? And you have to take into account that those people in those far away places are paying more for the products, and now the consumer is going to have to pay to support that logistics of bringing back the products from those points. So it's you have to bring geography also into the discussion about waste management. That is into my concern and how I see the region.
How do you think the standard will help to address some of those big challenges?
The first step, it's a matter of recognizing what's going on. Companies and people who work inside companies have the kind of the broad images of what is happening through their participation in the market. They have sales. They don't go into many details about the information they have there. And sometimes what you see is that people addressing sustainability are not very conscious about the detail of the numbers in order to make the decisions. And the standard here starts by that. I mean, bringing awareness to the company in order to make good decisions. This, when a company does the sustainability reporting in an order where first it establishes what it wants to achieve, and then it evaluates what has done to achieve it, not just reporting per se. And there are still some companies who have that bad practice of just trying to report and that's it, but not looking into what is being reported and how that is helping them make better decisions. So when that happens, when you are able to look at the information, address your goals, and see how you're performing towards your goals, then you're able to put into a loop of continuous improvement, of trying to reach those goals, of trying to do things better, or trying to be sustainable. Well, that word sometimes is tricky for many companies, but it puts you into track. When you have information to make decisions, you are able to know where you're heading and where you are supposed to be going. When you have no information and you are just reporting, you're always on time, you're always perfect. So that has to be one of the first exercises. The second element that you have on the standard is that when you have that information in place, you are also bringing other elements that maybe companies are not considering. For example, the amount of recyclable materials they can include into the packaging, the amount of elements that can be repaired if they have a system of a product that can be repaired, and looking into our other business models that could be interesting for them to address inside their core business. If they want to outperform in sustainability, they have to look at the numbers and make decisions and even try sometimes, get it's part of the risk involved into this, and be successful in that risk they're taking of addressing new business models that are part of what circularity brings to them as an opportunity of generating jobs and indeed increasing their financial performance, their economic performance for a period where they are addressing something that nobody else is doing, and that people are concerned, consumers are concerned about it, and they're pressuring it. And you see that legislation is also pressuring it. So they are going to be ahead of time in solving the issues and being there for what the constraints of the market is bringing them to a point where they will have to be more competitive, and that's what they're going to do with the standard.
You've been working on this standard for some months now. Why did you join the project working group? What were you hoping to achieve?
I was attracted by the elements that they were looking for to include circularity as part of the standard. And right now, that's my work. I work as a consultant in circular economy. So for me, it was an opportunity to see how the companies, usually the companies who are reporting in GRI, are those who are the best in the market in sustainability issues. So it's an opportunity of being there, helping address circularity in a good way. It's that it's not only focused on recycling, but focus on the circularity of materials, of recognizing that waste indeed is going to be an input for part of the product or part of the packaging or part of another industry, which happens today in some cases, but in the case of Latin America, you are not seeing that constantly happening. So for me, it was an opportunity to be part of it. And also to put into consideration my years of experience into something that could work with the different stakeholders involved in the standard creation or in the standard review that we have gone through.
Why should people respond in the public comment period for the waste standard?
I see that even though we have stakeholders in this process, There's always something that can be missed, and we have a different perspectives, and we're trying to join them into the standard. But that is why it's important for companies, reporting companies, to join this period and comment and take out their concerns, which is important. But maybe to tell us about their good practices today that are not being reported and that could help to bring the standard into something that is more according to what companies are looking into this moment. It is also a good moment for them to be prepared of the changes of the standard. And one of the things I admire on the work put into the standard, the version we have right now, is that it is pedagogical. It builds a very, very nice way of educating companies and telling them what they're supposed to do in the beginning when they are not proficient about what the standard is telling them to do. So I think that there are two opportunities and for companies. One, to tell what they're doing right now, to put it as part of consideration to something that will enlighten or make better the standard. And on the second point, to be there, prepared for the changes that are coming, and to prepare the information and to try to start looking into the numbers, which I believe is one of the biggest elements that you have in the new standard, that it puts key elements for decision making, and for them to understand that those are the numbers that they're going to look into for making the good decisions for the future.
It must have been exciting to be part of this, you know, start to what looks to be a fundamental shift in the way companies look at this stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. And for them, it's an opportunity because even though there is a change of evaluating who is interested in these issues from Europe to Latin America, and maybe 20% of the population is interested in these changes right now in Latin America. Well, it's growing. So if they want to talk about sustainability, which is building future, they have to cultivate this as something that will bring benefits from them. Maybe not in the short periods. Maybe it's only going to be a good benefit for this 20% I'm talking about. But later on, it's going to be the 80% of the population interested in these issues. So it's covering an 80% market for them if they are aligned to circularity. So it's talking about sustainability clearly, and it's out to them to say, well, we'll put our efforts into start changing, and it's a good moment because all the legislation is changing towards that direction. So for them, it's good.
Daniel raises some interesting points. It also showcases the importance of getting the groundwork done and getting one common set of standards. They can always be adjusted so each company can measure the impacts that matter the most.
And to know more about the GRI standards, our services, our partnerships with governments and other organizations, and more on sustainability reporting, visit www.globalreporting.org or find us on Medium at Global Reporting Initiative, Twitter at @GRI_Secretariat, and LinkedIn.
We want to hear from you. Do get in touch and let us know what you think, what you like, and what you'd like to hear more of. Write to us at communications@globalreporting.org. And of course, find this podcast on our website and iTunes.
Special thanks to Lucy Goodchild from Tell Lucy for the interview on this episode.
A big thanks as well to our guest, Daniel Gomez. Remember, it's not about the report. It's about what you do with the information that can make all the difference.